And we're back. Welcome to another episode of Mike, and Oscar. Going back to the Oscar category reviews. Had a little detour, a couple days break. Then we did some Black Panther episodes. We had a 9 spoiler review and a spoiler-filled review of those.
Proud of them.
And now we're heading back and to finish off the last of our Oscar category reviews, starting today with Best Original Screenplay. If it's been a while, so if you're new, if you don't remember, if you haven't joined us yet, we're doing these category reviews for the Oscars. We're taking these big 7 Oscars, the 4 acting categories, Best Director, Best Original Screenplay, Best Picture. We left out Best Adapted Screenplay because both Mike and myself are quite illiterate. So in lieu of covering that one and all the other lesser awards, Best Animated Film like that, we wanted to, since this podcast is centered on the major Oscar Academy Awards, we're going to concentrate on those for our category reviews. So today, we've already knocked down Best Actor, Lead Actress, Supporting Actress. We're going to knock down today Best Original Screenplay. This will be the 5th one. And I am your host, Mike. This is my co-host, also Mike.
Also Mike here.
And he's going to give us a little insight onto why exactly we're not covering the Adapted Screenplay category.
We don't want to read books!
And there it is. That's why we're not covering...
Mudbound by Dee Reese and Virgil Williams. Molly's Game by Aaron Sorkin. The Disaster Artist by Scott Neustadter and Michael H. Weber. Logan by Michael Green, James Mangold, and Scott Frank. And, of course, the favorite, Call Me By Your Name by James Ivory. Those are the 5 nominees for Best Adapted Screenplay. We could have got off easier this year, my friend, because one of those is a comic book.
That's so a good point.
4 books and 1 comic. I think we'll do this category when 3 out of the 5 are comic books.
Or just all 5.
All 5. Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
Well, here's a question, though. Call Me By Your Name, you said, is the favorite, and it's been such a big favorite in that category. What's the bigger upset if it were to happen on Oscar Sunday? Gary Oldman not winning lead actor for his Churchill portrayal, or Call Me By Your Name not taking home the Best Adapted Screenplay Oscar?
Call Me By Your Name, in my opinion,
yeah,
because it's just like swept on the one hand, but it's also, this is what it's supposed to get.
Yeah.
Like, this is the big piece of recognition that it's supposed to get. However, if you tell me that Timothy Chalamet is going to beat Gary Oldman, then maybe I would, in this hypothetical scenario, be okay with it.
The Oscar puzzle, the pieces coming together, and the Academy making sure it could recognize every film it needs to recognize. That's a good point, and I'm sure that'll play into some of our reasoning today as we discuss who will win the Best Original Screenplay category. If you've yet to join us, what we do in these Oscar review categories, it's not so much who Mike and I think will win the award overall, and it's not so much who we think should win the award, as I spit
overall,
all over myself,
yes.
Overall. We instead take the 5 nominees that the Academy has given us, and we give you reasons why each nominee will win the award and won't win the award. At the end of going through all 5 and giving reasons why they will and won't win the trophy, at the end we do what we like to call perfecting perfection, which is something from our Oscar retrospectives. We do it every one of those episodes. We take the 5 nominees that the Academy has given us, and we re-rank them in the order that they should be in our eyes.
It's a smart way to do it because it's kind of like a category overview. Even in after the Oscars, it gives these, I know we've talked about these have shorter shelf life. However, you can kind of get a feel for the category at large, even after the Oscars. We're discussing strengths and weaknesses of each performance, of each screenplay, directing,
yeah, that's the official
and picturing
word. That's how you know we're insiders.
Yes. and yeah, movieing.
So let's get into it. The Best Original Screenplay, the 5 nominees.
Just a note on the criteria here, buddy.
Son of a bitch.
We didn't read these scripts.
No.
We're making these grades based on our story analysis of the film, the pictures that are worth thousands of words. So in fact, I think we read more words than we would have if we read the books or the scripts.
That's a lie, but I like the way you think. Also, these are spoiler-free episodes, so when we do...
It's my first mental gymnastic of the day.
When we do the retrospectives on screenplay and best picture, we like to give you full spoilers. We're not going to do that with the Oscar review, category review, because, again, everything has kind of been tailored thus far to motivate you to see these films or stay away from the ones.
This one was tempting. This one was tempting.
Certainly, as any screenplay discussion
is. I got some asterisks throughout here that I'm not going to say them. I'm not going to rhyme them. Because I'm awesome at that. I now all of you know me and rhyming. But no, I'm not going to do any of that. So Take it away, Mike.
Yes, the five nominations in the Best Original Screenplay category are Get Out, done by, of course, Jordan Peele, Lady Bird, written by Greta Gerwig, The Big Sick, written by Emily V. Gordon and Kumail Nanjiani, Shape of Water, written by Guillermo del Toro and Vanessa Taylor, and Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, written by Martin McDonagh. We take these in alphabetical order, so let's start, Mike, with why Get Out, the Jordan Peele property, will win the Best Original Screenplay Oscar.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G, yes. Okay. Thank you. He's course, already won.
The Big Sick starts with a B, and then it's the.
Yeah, but you counted the. Yeah. You counted the. Very. You never worked at a video store.
No.
Good for you. Good for me, too. Listen, Jordan Peele already won the Critics' Choice, WGA. He's won a host of other awards, so, I mean, he's perhaps the favorite in terms of the most telling precursors.
Yeah, he's kind of swept, for the most part,
well,
the
Martin McDonagh's
stuff.
Gotten, like, the foreign critics, the foreign Hollywood, foreign press. He got the BAFTA for it, so there's a slight race going on there. I think this one's going to get it because they're going to give this award to Get Out, and that's Get Out's award.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons I had as well. It's the Oscar puzzle you just touched on. You know, if Timothée Chalamet were to win this, then Call Me By Your Name wouldn't win this. This is the Oscar puzzle. I think the Academy thinks that there is a reason to award this movie for something, and it's not going to get Best Picture, and Peele's probably not going to win Best Director. And
that's a great title, The Oscar Puzzle. Why isn't that the name of our podcast or the name of something that we do?
We have to rebrand. And if Kaluuya isn't going to win the Best Actor Academy Award, then again, there's the thinking that this should win something. So it could be a case where everyone's filling out their ballots and thinking, well, it is probably, here's another reason, the most culturally relevant movie that came out in maybe the last 15, 20 years. Those are the two major reasons I have. So that's why this Jordan Peele would walk home with this Oscar in my mind.
It has one of the best endings in a long time. He's a master of setup and payoff. It's as tight a story as I've seen in a while. But for me, the main reason, just in terms of analyzing the film, you know, this story's on the edge of a knife because it's a genre bender. It is a horror comedy, obviously. It is a social satire, as we said in the Best Actor pod.
No question.
Kaluuya's like a Sidney Poitier, and guess who's coming to dinner? I would probably award Peele the Best Director over this one.
Ooh.
We'll talk about that later. Because I think there's some stronger moments in screenwriting. However, in terms of the composition as a whole, maybe I'd give them both to Peele, and we're going to work that out. But the degree of difficulty of this screenplay, of this film, is just insane to me. He does it in his directorial debut, and it is his second script. You know, he wrote Keanu, which is not at all close to the mark of this movie.
I will say, for some reason, it's not. You're absolutely right. It's not at all close to this. But whenever that's on HBO or something, I always end up taking in at least like 45 minutes of it. I cannot explain why.
Is it still funny? Are you laughing a little bit?
Yeah, I giggle.
Oh, that's good, because I watched it just the once, and I was kind of a little disappointed. Maybe I'll go back.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Some rewatchability.
How about the fact that this came out, much like in the same vein that Black Panther just did? We had our two Black Panther review pods. Came out in February.
Yeah.
They were early releases. They're not supposed to be Oscar momentum or Oscar-worthy candidates. Blumhouse is the distributor. And yet here we are a year later now talking about the impact of this movie, and it's still relevant. It just went back to theaters for President's Day for free viewings. It's still very relevant.
Open House, Netflix horror movie, had a better trailer and a less, you know, horror style trailer than this movie did. This movie was so in your face. This is just the horror movie of the week.
Yep.
You know, I mean, it was that kind of a trailer that I was like, I'm worried about this movie, you know, before we all saw it in February, last February. So
thank God we're not smart men.
No, they didn't think, we didn't think, nobody thought this was going to become an Oscar contender. My God, but we're all better for it.
How about the two woke reason, the Academy likes taking half measures and still doesn't quite understand what progressivism and racism is, that they thought Do the Right Thing should have won this category in 1989, and they haven't progressed enough to the point that voting for this as a makeup for that gaffe is still a racial motivation and still wrong.
Maybe. That's my feedback. Great feedback by me. I just saw that Spike Lee hasn't been nominated for a Best Director Oscar. I just saw that.
Our best
today.
Director.
Like, I assumed he's one of my favorite directors. He's one of the best ever.
We're recording our Best Director pod after this one, and we're going to have some takes about people who have yet to be nominated there and a bunch of reasons for that. But let's talk about Now, why Jordan Peele, who is the favorite, like we said,
the mental gymnastics part.
The first time we lead off with a favorite, as a matter of fact, in
true.
One of these episodes.
The
Tell
alphabet
me why Jordan
is a
Peele...
strange twist of...
a hairy mistress. No? Is that not a thing?
why, hairy mistress.
Why Jordan Peele will not be winning the Best Original Screenplay Oscar.
Greta Gerwig has a lot of momentum. I wonder if people try to find Lady Bird a landing spot. Martin McDonagh has obviously won the Globe and the
strong
BAFTA
category. Yeah,
you know, this field has a great chance to steal votes just because of how strong I think four of them are. The Big Sick, it's its only nominee, so fans of that movie may just cast their vote for it. Listen, the ending sequence might be a little rushed. I think we've talked about that in our Get Out review. I mean, as a nitpick, I was a movie that I might have wanted 5 or more 10 minutes of, you know, a little more relish. But that's a quibble, and I think that's a
one that could
kind of a backhanded
weight.
Compliment at the same time, because it's like, you know, I just wanted to live in the story
movie,
for longer.
Yeah.
Now, is there the biggest thing I have though, Mike? Is there a underhanded or a secret white lash that we've seen from both voting bodies before?
The half measure, that's the biggest reason I have. The nomination is enough. We don't want to rock the boat too much. He got here. Good job. Nice job, Jordan. Here's your courtesy nom. But we're going to turn around and give this to a safer selection, a more conventional selection, like a Lady Bird, like a Beauty and the Beast remake in Water with Shape of Water, etc.
Now, I would say like a Lady Bird is on the same level in terms of the screenwriting. However, and I think you're with me there, but however, is there this secret, like, okay, you're criticizing liberal elites, white racism in this movie, which is, of course, the largest section of the voting
body.
You
think too many of the Academy
white
took
liberal
it too personally?
So is there, like, a secret thing where, okay, like, yes, I went along and I cheered for it in public, but in private, I'm a little peeved, I'm a little ticked, I'm a little like whatever, subconsciously, that they made fun of me in this movie because I had that comment with somebody at some point, I voted for Obama.
The portion of the public that voted for Trump that would never say it to the pollsters, but did it anyway. Yeah, it's certainly a distinct possibility. You never know who gets rubbed the wrong way and what mood people are feeling when they fill out their ballots. Another reason I have is Guillermo del Toro is 15 years older than Peele and has been writing and making feature films for about 25 years more.
Yeah.
Maybe it's Guillermo del Toro's time, in quotations, and people look at Jordan Peele and think, well, this kid's going to be back. Young enough.
Possible.
Could have that kind of backlash with it. But these are all legitimate reasons, and Get Out certainly is the favorite, but you never know. If it's going to lose, it's going to be due to some kind of subjectivity in voters' minds, and could be any of those reasons, if not some we haven't mentioned.
Does it steal Best Picture and lose this?
The Oscar puzzle.
That puzzle.
We're going to have to rename everything. I'm going to have to get t-shirts printed up. We'll move on to Lady Bird, written by Greta Gerwig, and also Mike is going to lead us off with some reasons why Lady Bird will be taking home the Best Original Screenplay Oscar.
Might be the best screenplay of the year, that's why.
That's pretty hard and fast reason, isn't it?
The film attracted an extraordinary cast who praised the writer director for the sell job. Talked about it in our Lady Bird production profile. She wrangled a 300 pager down. It took her several years to do this. She wrangled that into shape, and it's a tightly packed script full with lavish detail and density and reverberations that you will think about for a while after you see the movie, that you will want to go back to the theaters quickly to see it, like on my movie list. Shocking that I keep a movie list.
Go on.
Lady Bird. There's like Lady Bird, Lady Bird, Lady Bird.
Yeah.
Like 20,341.
You know. Like you just said Jordan Peele plays on the edge of a knife with Get Out. I would argue that Lady Bird, Gerwig did it in Lady Bird in a different way. It's the year of serious subject matter, and the seriousness of the subject of this coming-of-age story still breaks through, but it fits in as many laughs as it does.
Yeah.
It's a genuine and relatable film that deserves to be rewarded for multiple reasons, not the least of which is that it's absolutely a comedy still on top of
it's underrated that you're right. It's underrated comedy. And this seems to be the year of the comedy.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about it, look at the best original screenplay this year. You have comedies 1, 2, 3, 4.
We have
Martin because, you know, Three Billboards has
a dark comedy for sure.
Darkest.
And we've been kind of pounding the table and saying that comedies need recognition, genre pictures need recognition. And here comes a female rookie directorial debut. Dabu dee dabu die. And it accomplishes at its emotional peak what most movies of the genre aim to get to but never reach.
Your brain went right to Eiffel 65.
It's 65, thank you. Cancel the Baja Men.
For me, this movie wound up resonating, I've said this several times, on just the most personal level. I'm shocked because I'm not a Catholic schoolgirl. I never was. I wasn't even a theater kid back in the day.
I'd like to challenge both those statements.
I have more in common with the JV football coach turned turned priest. priest, JV football coach, turned theater director there. So, yeah, I loved this script. And I think Greta Gerwig is... She kind of had more of an apprenticeship than we think, because
this is her first solo directorial debut. That's a good point. She's been attached to other properties.
She's written scripts before. She co-wrote some movies with Noah Baumbach.
Yes. What's the
Swanbergs?
The what core?
Mumblecore.
Mumblecore. Thank you. I couldn't remember.
Mumblecore.
The Oscar puzzle. I didn't know your brother John was here. The Oscar puzzle piece.
Jokes for no one.
The two woke part of why Greta Gerwig will win this category. Jordan Peele and Guillermo del Toro are going to get recognized in some capacity. Everyone seems to agree with that. And this is kind of the third leg that will get recognized. It seems like there's a big shift of momentum towards recognizing Get Out, Shape of Water, which has 13 nominations, leads the pack, and Lady Bird. Can the Academy afford to shower those two men with awards and leave this effort out? Probably not in the biggest year of social justice.
Lady Bird's got to get something.
I agree.
It's got to get something. Is it Best Picture? Is it? If it's not Best Picture, where else does it have a chance?
If I were a betting man, I'd think Best Picture. Okay. But we're going to get into that when we talk about our betting odds and our Oscar pool podcast.
You called it that.
Which we always said we were going to change the name of, and we just kind of, you beat me into submission
with it. The
Oscar puzzle. Yeah, the Oscar puzzle.
Well, I don't know if it's clear enough.
It's not so much a puzzle. It's usually with me in betting, it's just me handing money over and over again. But tell me why Greta Gerwig will not win the Academy Award for Best Original Screenplay.
Morden Schmiel. Get Out's probably
you're not even doing the setup to those anymore. You're just leaving the audience to figure out what it is.
It's hard to criticize this script, to be honest, so I got more nonsense reasons. Yes, I think the one kind of criticism that I would walked away with after my first viewing made me dismiss the movie a little bit. It's a tad anticlimactic the first time you see it.
That's fair.
I think you're hit with the weight of it, you know, on rewatch, or if you're just smarter than me. And I, for one, kind of dismissed
it. It's a low bar.
But I'm in awe of it later on. I think there's a lot of unconventional twists and innovations to the genre. It's not a coming-of-age story about a girl seeking a guy, you know, and that's not what it's ultimately about. And I'm proving why she's going to win rather than when she's going to lose. But listen, I think other scripts in the category end with a more of a bang, I guess, is leading up to my point. And the monstrous scene at the end of Get Out, the huge ending of Shape of Water, and of course the brain screw that Three Billboards gives you. This one might just be a little too sentimental for folks, where the other is more flashing in terms of writing style.
It did go against genre so much and against conventions so much during the picture. Did it do it too much in lacking that big emotional payoff at the prom or at the funeral or the places where most coming-of-age stories end, when this one chose not to?
Yes.
It's a good point. How about the unexpected backlash that this has faced? IndieWire, day before Valentine's Day this year, February 13th, we had this anonymous Oscar ballot. It hit the waves, right? And it came out and everybody was tearing it apart and nitpicking. They want to know what this anonymous Oscar voter was going and where they were leaning with their choices. He or she laid out the groundwork for the case against Lady Bird, even though it reads as somewhat subjective. Here's the quote. I just didn't like Dunkirk and Lady Bird that much. Dunkirk was too impersonal. Oddly, Darkest Hour told the Dunkirk story in a better way. And Lady Bird was overrated. Now, it's not a criticism we heard when Lady Bird was in theaters, but this is an Academy member. It's a voting member. Maybe this carries some influence with other voting members and forces them to reevaluate their positioning on the movie.
It's possible that people dismiss this movie, because I do think, like Phantom Thread and a few other films this year, you have to take it in more than once. Or you have to just be emotionally and, you know, in terms of your attention, you have to be fixated on it the first time. And if it got you the first time, then great. If not, You got to give it a second chance, is my point.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. It is, and like most of these movies, and you've been the biggest advocate of this, you need to rewatch and rewatch to get all you can out of the udder of that movie and get yourself some good milk. I wish milk was one of the movies in the category this year. It would have made more sense. It would have been a better pun. Greta Gerwig, my last reason. She deserves all the acclaim in the world. The solo directorial debut. Great script. Coming of age movie. Hits emotional highs. There's a chance she's going to be outshined by two of her two leading ladies.
True.
And Laurie Metcalf could get some praise.
Saoirse
Ronan could end up with an award. And Greta Gerwig finds herself as the odd woman out in that threesome.
And this field is certainly loaded as well. So, the new Academy, their vote might be split, which opens the door for Martin McDonagh. And in this instance, I would think it's possible that she will lose just because her and Jordan Peele, and Jordan Peele might lose for the same reason. They split a lot of that new Academy of vote, and the old white guys vote for Three Billboards, which is in terms of screenplays, is super flashy. You got the snappy dialogue, you got the dark comedy, you got the watching Donald Sutherland movies on the TV, talking about old Hollywood in that regard. So you got a little mix of everything in that, sense.
Save it. We're not there yet.
Okay.
We'll go to The Big Sick now, the third nominee, written by Kumail Nanjiani and Emily V. Gordon. Tell us why The Big Sick is going to win its lone nomination.
Funniest script of the year.
It's up there, isn't it? It's hilarious. Every time.
Yeah, trailblazer, innovator of the rom-com genre. It's its only nomination. Maybe people get behind it because they wanted to vote for The Big Sick and they're upset. Didn't get nominated anywhere else. And every time I go on Box Office Mojo, there's a For Your Consideration for The Big Sick on there. I don't know if that's an ad targeted at me, like all my clicks online, or if that's always been
that
there.
That site is run by Michael Showalter, is what it is.
Amazon?
I'm with you in there. Again, we're talking about Oscar puzzle reasons, and Kumail can't break into the best actor race. Ray Romano and Holly Hunter both had supporting momentum stalled, didn't get the nomination. Showalter didn't get his name in the big loaded directorial category this year. And here's this movie with its lone nomination in a major category that's not an acting category. Maybe there's enough people out there that think it needs recognition, the screenplay is certainly funny enough, the subject matter is emotional enough.
Another
genre
bender. There's
a possibility out there. Absolutely,
as funny as it is, it's as dramatic and great performances throughout that didn't get nominated. But I think, go watch this on Amazon Prime streaming video there. Go back and listen to our Oscar Sprint profile on The Big Sick, because we break down the production profile, the story, Inception. I think that narrative has a lot of appeal to Oscar voters.
Yeah, there's a whole story behind the story, which, again, we're not talking about spoilers, that could carry a lot of weight. If you've seen the movie, you know what we're referring to. One last reason for me, in the year where films are being praised for their balls and their audacity and addressing certain subject matter, the cutesy rom-com featuring a Pakistani family in the lead may have had the most balls, may have taken the most brazen chances with their comedy and with their storylines.
I think my favorite supporting cast, even though it may not be the quote-unquote best, I mean, Lady Bird, Three Billboards, they have some titans and some award magnets involved.
Yeah,
so if
no
you
question.
Voted for best ensemble, but the funniest supporting cast, these family members, they kill me over and over again. The comedian friends, it's hysterical.
And the writing of the jokes, the one joke in particular, which we won't repeat, but my God, the balls on that writing
team. I think
team.
It was, get out of my shower?
Yeah, that was
Ray
it.
Romano?
No, that
Ray
was the
Romano?
One I was talking about.
Ray
I said
Romano
we weren't going
to
spoil it. I'm joking, of course. It's not that. Mike did that impression in our Big
By
Sick
the way, I didn't realize I plagiarized Kevin James's impression of Ray Romano when I gave my impression of Ray Romano. That's all filled my brain
as long as you're plagiarizing somebody famous, that's what's why won't The Big Sick take home the Emily V. Gordon Kumail Nanjiani property? Why will it leave Oscarless on March 4th?
The movie doesn't have enough momentum. Jordan Peele and Get Out, it's unlikely to go one for one. That's rare. It's awkward funny for much of the middle of the film, I think, in terms of
there
a content
are some
reason.
Skin crawling moments, yep, for sure.
People are often
uncomfortable.
Yeah, people are often polarized. It touches nerves by that kind of humor. And that may turn some people off.
Yeah, let's talk about some stats, too. I like sprinkling those in these episodes. We're averaging in the last couple of years about one screenplay per year that gets its movie's lone nomination.
Really?
And only one movie, only one category gets a nomination for that movie, and it happens to be Best Original Screenplay. Moonrise Kingdom in 2012-13, Nightcrawler, Dan Gilroy, Where Have You Gone, 2014-15, Lobster last year, 2016-17. None of those movies have won. So they kind of get the token nomination. We wanted to give this some sort of recognition, but it hasn't been enough to overcome the favorites of those years. Again, history's working against it. Could Big Sick break the trend? Who knows? But trends are not on its side.
At I didn't do my research like Mike.com.
You keep going to these different websites during these categories.
Yeah, I got some versatility online. I just, you know, I click around. Listen, I wonder if the innovations didn't work.
You ever been to Pornhub?
Jesus Christ. I wonder if the innovations worked against it. I think people go into this particular genre expecting one particular kind of movie. It's like a safety net for them.
Yeah, in many cases. It's certainly possible. We talked about over and over how it's a rom-com. And some of the feedback we got online were people saying, oh, I never viewed this movie as a rom-com before. So there's a possibility people don't know what this is.
Well, that's good. I mean, but if they don't expect something as heavy as the conflict
as
in this movie.
Yeah, sure.
Thinking it's just a light rom-com and getting this these waves of serious catharsis and emotional,
yeah,
you know,
getting
nightmare.
A basic love story with Ray Romano stand-up sprinkled in. That's not what this movie is.
Right.
Sure.
It's not that happy, you know, Hallmark movie for you. It's it works and it pays off, and I love it. It's just it's a tougher watch than... What's a movie that you... Letters to Juliet. It's a tougher watch than Letters to Juliet.
Nothing is a tougher watch than Letters to Juliet.
Mike's aforementioned favorite rom-com.
I wanted to drown.
When in Rome
in
was
that
the other
fountain
one.
In When in Rome.
He had two like traumatizing experiences with rom-coms, and he's never loved again until now.
I'm a great boyfriend.
The Big Sick. Well... This changed your mind as well as Moonstruck.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I hate rom-coms, going back to it, and the very best written ones, the Moonstrucks, the Big Six, when you have a realistic story, I can see the value in the genre, and this certainly is one of those, and it's one of the higher marked ones, and I think it deserves the nomination for sure. Whether or not it wins, we'll see, but we'll move to the favorite of everything. 13 nominations, one short of the Oscar record for most nominations from a single film in one award show, The Shape of Water, written by Vanessa Taylor and Guillermo del Toro. Tell me why Best Original Screenplay will be one of all the Oscars this takes home.
If it wins Best Original Screenplay, it's winning a lot of things.
I will fight a merman.
The sweep is on. Mike's going to just dive into the water.
I will fight a merman.
With a trident.
You got legs?
In his teeth. Yeah, so if...
No, that's a good point. You're absolutely right. That means that the run is on, and this is a defining movie of one of the years, akin to Silence of the Lambs.
It could win because people just fell in love with this movie. It does check off a lot of boxes. You know, female screenwriter, foreign director. It's about a strong female lead. Strong statements about civil rights and gender equality. Strong statements about the LGBTQ community members.
Yeah,
it really checks off a lot of issues that we want to put forward in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm. Without question.
And says a lot of lovely things about it. And I don't like using that word lovely, but this movie says a lot of lovely things about it. Plus, you get the catnip to Academy voters with all the nostalgia.
The actual cats.
the actual cats in the movie. You get the nostalgia of all the old Hollywood motifs.
Yeah, the Hollywood magic is kind of the main reason I have, too. Maybe there's something in this movie that was also in La La Land that may be reserved for only those in the industry. It appeals most to those in the industry. I keep bringing up how Kumail Nanjiani was on Twitter saying how this was the movie that stuck with him most. There's obviously a groundswell of support, as this does well in every award show. It could be its night. It could be the Shape of Water year that we'll always be talking about.
Where I will pat this movie on the back, the scaly, squirmy, oily back, is that there are full arcs for the entire supporting cast of this film. And that's a testament to really strong
writing.
That's
a really good point. That's a really, really good point.
You know, we probably don't... I know we're like, this is not our favorite movie of the year, but... Richard Jenkins has a full arc. Octavia Spencer has a full arc. Michael Stuhlbarg has a full arc. Michael Shannon has a full arc.
I mean, even my minor characters like the Octavia Spencer boyfriend. I can't remember the actor's name.
Husband, yeah.
He's
yeah.
talked about the entire movie. Yes. He's in one scene and he fulfills his prophecy. That's a really good point.
Yes. One last thing is that the other nominees being so strong could bring the favorite back to the field.
Cannibalistic.
Like, yeah. They could all cannibalize each other. Then you could just have the Shape of Water faithful, which seems to be a larger minority in this voting body, snub everything else.
Yeah, and we use the cannibalism argument pretty much in every Oscar category episode. I think that's an attribute to how strong most of these fields are. We've talked about how Best Supporting Actor left out some people we would consider favorites, might be a little weaker on its face, but Subjectively, pretty much every other category has some very strong leads that I think we're going to remember for a long time. I don't know that I'm just saying that. I think that these are actually impactful films that'll stick with us.
I think Lady Bird has its strong fans and loyalists. I think Get Out has its core group, maybe more. Maybe that swelled to make it the favorite that it is.
Not in this category, but is anyone stronger than the Call Me By Your Name crowd?
Right, and you also have the contingent of the foreign press that showed its votes for in the BAFTA and the Globes for Three Billboards. Does The Shape of Water have that, you know, all the craftspeople who it's been carrying, all the perhaps Best Picture, Best Director folks, you know, when the whole Academy votes, not just the WGA who voted for Jordan Peele, when the whole Academy votes, when all the actors chime in, who votes Shape of Water, for Best, not ensemble, sorry. When all the producers chime in, rather, who voted this movie for best production of the year, and obviously it's getting production design, like I said, the craftspeople love it. That might be, you know, in
enough
the
of them
conglomerate
together, yeah.
to push this movie up.
Let's say it doesn't, though. Let's say Shape of Water goes home without the Best Original Screenplay Oscar. Why would that happen?
Because there are major plot holes in this thing, and I don't want to get into spoilers, and I'm upset at us because there's one obvious plot hole that we did not even mention in our Oscar Sprint profile series episode that I never occurred to me until I watched this movie with my mom and dad.
What number watch did you watch it on when you noticed this?
It was like four, but yeah. They seen it for the first time.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And they were like, why didn't she do this?
No, but that's a good point. That's a really good point.
Is this movie original? Is this story original enough? That's it. It's a bender. It's a borrower. But this fairy tale story, beat for beat, plays out in other movies of the same genre. That's a total spoiler for me, too, if I told you which movies it's exactly like.
Right. And that's been my defense of our position of not being as high on this as other movies. There's one movie in particular that comes to mind where I'm saying, well, if you think that Lady Bird and Get Out and Three Billboards are worse than this movie, Movie X, let's call it.
Right.
Then, or if you think they're better than Movie X, I should say, then they're better than Shape of Water. That's the associative property.
Beat for beat, this sticks with the myth or the fairy tale storyline. Right. And I don't know if that's original. That should be adapted from this other movie.
Yeah, it's tough.
These other 10 movies.
It's tough. What about the fact that Shape is going to get more than its fair share of recognition and awards on the night? You'd think Best Original Screenplay, when it's not already viewed as the favorite in this category, might be the one they kind of back off of. It's going to get Best Director, most likely. I think we could safely say it probably is going to get a lot of Best Picture momentum. It might win a lot of the undercard ones. So you'd think Best Original Screenplay, they might back off of it, and the Academy might see this as an opportunity to give an award to another film.
I'm with you. It's a perfect opportunity for that.
We got one movie left, our fifth one on this Best Original Screenplay category. The fifth nominee is Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri, written by Martin McDonagh. Probably the most controversial of the five nominees due to the backlash it's been receiving lately. But tell me why Martin McDonagh will be the one with the final laugh and take the Best Original Screenplay Oscar.
Because the highs of this script are some of the highlights of the entire category of the entire year of movies. It's the greatest tell-off scene in a long, long time.
Yeah, maybe I feel we didn't give enough due to that, too, the scene between Mildred and the priest.
Looks, maybe since Uncle Buck speaking to the principal at his niece's grammar school, when he tells her to, you know, flicks her the quarter and go have a rat and all that thing off your face. That is perhaps the next best. But the culpable speech she gives to the priest is wonderful, and again, the best tell-off in a while. Didn't my brother text us after he watched? He's like, all right, she's getting the Oscar.
Yeah, yeah, he's kind of been on his deathbed for the last couple weeks.
Poor kid got the flu and wisdom teeth back-to-back weeks.
little murderer's row of elements there, and he started mowing down these movies. And he was, his adulation for this film echoed what a lot of people have already said. You got to give Frances McDormand the Oscar. This script is great. I think it's my favorite one, et cetera, et cetera. So that momentum is out there. And another big reason in line with that is that this movie's kind of survived its backlash, and it's kind of back on track with momentum coming off a big night at the BAFTAs, which is the last major award show prior to the Academy Awards. It still won a lot of stuff there in the major ones. So
the movie deals with chauvinism and racism. There's been a backlash to it, as we've said,
yes,
for good reason. However, the full arcs, again, full arcs point, they're full arcs for all the supporting characters. That's a testament to the writing style.
It's extremely well fleshed out and extremely well written on a lot of sides as far as the supporting characters and the main characters having a proper end to their story.
In my opinion, the best B story of the year, B as in boy, in terms of that Hollywood formula of writing the B story, and this is with Woody Harrelson.
You think we should start doing like...
Weaves
like
into the middle.
The best B story, D as in dog... You think that would be something?
C and D stories, I'm not there yet, my friend. But B story, A, one story plus like a side plot, subplot, I can understand those two things.
Fair enough.
It won the Golden Globe and the BAFTA for Best Original Screenplay, so it is a leader in the clubhouse if you don't think that Jordan Peele's definitely going to get it. Detroit, Las Vegas, a lot of cities also voted it for best screenplay as well. So it's won a bunch of precursors. Has it won the exact precursors it wanted to win, like the Critics' Choice and WGA? No.
Yeah, it's not getting a lot of a whole world of momentum for winning this award, but at the same time, this is kind of a three-headed monster like we talked about. Is it going to be Lady Bird? Is it going to be Get Out? Is it going to be Shape of Water? Again, with the cannibalization argument, maybe those three all eat themselves up, mm-hmm. and this one stands there alone.
Yeah, could
as the lone winner. But let's talk about why Martin McDonagh will not have its Best Original Screenplay Oscar to his name after March 4th.
Right, Jordan Peele and Get Out, I mean, main reason there.
Yeah.
Especially as you get into more of the American Academy, mm-hmm. and a lot of those crossover, you know, you don't have as many Hollywood foreign press, you don't have as many foreign actors involved in our Academy. Just by the numbers there, you know, Jordan Peele and Get Out should
become
the favorite that
Absolutely.
It is in the WGA. Listen, the subject matter is as abrasive and difficult to wrangle as can be.
And maybe the backlash and the other backlash, maybe it had enough of an effect.
They don't exactly handle things delicately.
Yeah.
They're very in your
certainly
face.
Head on. Yeah. And maybe there's a very great possibility that it dissuaded enough vote. It put enough bad taste in voters' mouth, especially... Oscar puzzle, here it is again, when you consider that McDormand's probably going to win Best Actor.
Yeah.
Sam Rockwell probably going to win Best Supporting Actor.
Right.
Do they want to give this movie every award it could possibly get?
He doesn't get credit for directing Martin McDonagh.
No, not even nominated. Good point.
Here's my content reason, though. There's a lot of elements in this story that seem somewhat contrived and quote-unquote far-fetched. And I had I've dropped this movie from an A- to a B+ after rewatches because there are several, you know, spoilers that I won't say that just like, wait a minute, that's happening? This is way too much of a coincidence late in the movie. This is, I can't believe we went there to that level. I get that the tone of the movie is in your face. I get that the tone of the movie is very dark comedy-ish. And it's in your face in being darkly comedic. However, give me a break. I'm saying that throughout the end of the film.
Yeah, I'm on the record when we did our Oscar Sprint profile of this. I'm not crazy about the ending. And I think that kind of bleeds into what you were just saying about it. We can't get into spoilers and whatnot. Yeah. But of these five movies, the biggest problem with any ending I had was this one. And maybe that's... You know, maybe critics see it the same way and some of the Academy sees it the same way. It keeps us shut out from this category.
Yeah, some love that ending. Some hate it. Some hate it with vitriol.
Yeah.
And, you know, we just had a tangential argument with one another for like 20 minutes where we kind of batted this back and forth. And
when we're
off
ready
an argument,
to shut down this empire maybe we're building, we'll just release every
neither
backstage
of us are gonna
conversation.
Run for office,
yeah.
Ever.
We'll just keep a camera running and release all that as like an extra on a
now
final
I can't
DVD.
Run for office. Also, Mike 2022 is never going to happen
now. No politician has had that slogan. Mike, also Mike, now I can't run for office. So let's perfect perfection. That's what we do at the end of every Oscars retrospective. We do it at the end of these Oscar category reviews. We take these five nominees in no particular order. Again, those would be Emily V. Gordon and Kumail Nanjiani, Martin McDonagh, Jordan Peele, Vanessa Taylor, and Guillermo del Toro, and Greta Gerwig. And we will re-rank them 5 through 1, five being the fifth place finisher, obviously, up to number one, who we think should win out of these five ourselves. I'll start with my number five. It's not going to shock anyone that's heard this for a long time. It's Vanessa Taylor and Guillermo del Toro for Shape of Water.
Agreed. That's all you need to hear.
Yeah. Look, it's one day soon. I'll tell you the movie that this most reminds us of. We've already mentioned it a couple times in previous recordings, I think.
Spoiler sections.
Yeah. And we'll hash that out. But who was your number four?
Martin McDonagh for Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. The highs are high. However, some of the lows and the plot holes, I had to put it there at four.
I'm with you. And on top of the fact that I just think the top three are better
cemented
scripts.
Less flaws. Maybe it doesn't reach the high of that tell-off scene or a couple of the moments from Three Billboards. But
less problems along the way. So I'll take number three. My three was Greta Gerwig. I don't have really any issues, but is you the same?
No, it was Kumail and Emily for The Big Sick. But yes, I think Greta Gerwig is... Those three are tip-top.
Probably...
I think they're on another level than the other two. I would agree with you. So we're you know, what do they call splitting hairs?
Yeah.
Is that a saying?
And I wonder if we have the same one, which would mean we'd only differ on two and three.
My number two is Lady Bird and Greta Gerwig. So
and Jordan Peele is your one.
Jordan Peele still is my one, even though I teased maybe going the other direction.
Yeah, you did. You did a good
job. I came back
too.
To it. I the ending of the film, all the parallels, the setups and payoffs with the setup and that final act. I just love it. It's like a Edgar Wright script. I love Edgar Wright movies.
It is the most culturally relevant, culturally impactful, holy shit, what are we doing here with ourselves?
Yes.
Film of the last 20 years, 15 years. I'm Jordan Peele 1, Kumail and Emily 2. I love The Big Sick. I still think I'm going to have it in my top 10 when we do the Mike and Oscars for Best Picture.
Right.
Just as a means of review, Vanessa Taylor, Guillermo del Toro, Shape of Water 5, Martin McDonagh, Three Billboards 4, Greta Gerwig's Lady Bird 3 for me. Kumail and Emily Gordon's Big Sick is 2. Jordan Peele's Get Out is 1.
And I had The Big Sick at 3, Lady Bird at 2. Otherwise, we both had the same number 1. Jordan Peele for Get Out. We're rooting for him.
This is Jordan Peele, and we've said it since episode 1 of MMO. This is Jordan Peele's category to lose. Will Best Director be the same? The precursors say otherwise, but who knows? We're going to start recording that soon, and that'll be out within days probably of you listening to this. But
cool.
Tell us. Let us know. Are we right? Are we wrong? Do you think Jordan Peele should be the favorite? Are you rooting for him? Do you want maybe Martin McDonagh or Guillermo del Toro? Are you one of those people that loves Lady Bird and wants to see it get its share of awards here? Let us know. We are Mike and Oscar on Facebook, Mike and Oscar on Instagram, MM and Oscar on Twitter, MikeMikeAndOscar@gmail.com, and MikeMikeAndOscar on Reddit.
You're the man.
I'm trying. One of these days I'm going to screw up and I'm just going to crawl into a hole.
They're just going to go there and we're not going to be there. And then they'll have to listen to all our other episodes to know where to go.
This is Pornhub.
You're referencing that a lot
today.
Two
Pornhub references. Look at that. Who's better than me? Literally everybody. Let us know your thoughts about this original screenplay category and any other Oscar category reviews we've done. This is our fifth one. There's only two more. Director and Best Picture on the horizon, so keep an eye out for those. Reality sucks, guys. Keep watching movies with us, and we will see you next time.
See ya.